Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Suresha
Kasman
Na
Hinoshi
Vajram
Puras
Stite
Vairini
Vayamogham
Ma
Samshayishta
Na
Gadeva
Vajras
Syan
Nishfala
Kripanarteva
Yajna
Suresha
Kasman Nahino Shivajram
Purastite
Vairini
Mayamogham
Masham
Shayishta
Nagadeva
Vajra
Syanishvala
Kripanarteva
Yajna
Suresha
Kasman
Nahino Shivajram
Purastite
Vairini
Mayamogham
Masham
Shayishta
Nagadeva
Vajra
Syanishvala
Kripanarteva
Yanchcha
Thank you.
Sura Isha.
O King of the demigods.
Kasmat. Why? Na. Not. Hinoshi. You hurl. Vajram. The thunderbolt. Purastite. Standing in front. Vairini. Your enemy. Mayi. At me. Amogham. Which is infallible. Your thunderbolt. Ma. Do not. Shamshaishta. Doubt. Na. Not. Gada. Iva. Like the club. Vajra. The thunderbolt. Syat. Maybe. Nishvala. With no results. Kripana. From a miserly person. Arta. For money. Iva. Like. Yachnya. A request. Translation. O King of the demigods, since I, your enemy, am standing before you, why don't you hurl your thunderbolt at me? Although your attack upon me with your club was certainly useless, like a request of money from a miser, the thunderbolt you carry will not be useless. You need have no doubts about this. Purport. When King Indra threw his club at Vritrasura, Vritrasura caught it in his left hand and retaliated by using it to strike the head of Indra's elephant. Thus, Indra's attack was a disastrous failure. Indeed, Indra's elephant was injured and thrown back 14 yards. Therefore, even though Indra stood with the thunderbolt to hurl against Vritrasura, he was doubtful, thinking that the thunderbolt might also fail. Vritrasura, however, being a Vaishnava, assured Indra that the thunderbolt would not fail, for Vritrasura knew that it had been prepared in accordance with the instructions of Lord Vishnu. Although Indra had doubts because he could not understand that Lord Vishnu's order never fails, Vritrasura understood Lord Vishnu's purpose. Vritrasura was eager to be killed by the thunderbolt manufactured according to Lord Vishnu's instructions, because he was sure he would thus return back home, back to Godhead. He was simply waiting for the opportunity of the thunderbolts being released. In effect, therefore, Vritrasura told Indra, "If you want to kill me, since I am your enemy, take this opportunity. Kill me, you will gain victory, and I will go back to Godhead. Your deed will be equally beneficial for both of us. Do it immediately." So here we see the difference in the realization between Indra and Vritrasura, though both are devotees. But Vritrasura is a pure devotee, while Indra is a neophyte. So Indra is looking at the proper performance of his duties, that is the goal. That's all the more he sees, right? While Vritrasura sees the actual real goal, the ultimate goal, is to please the Lord. So all duties that you perform must please the Lord, otherwise it's not complete, it's not finished, right? So what makes the difference between these two? It is simply the attitude. It's that simple. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Simply by the attitude, it defines what its nature is. Is it pure devotional service? Is it mixed devotional service? Is it material? That's all it is. It's that simple. So here, then, Vritrasura is talking on Indra's attitude. Right? It's not about fighting technique. It looks like it's technique, because that's how Indra is going to look at it. He used the club that didn't work. He's supposed to use the Vajra. But he has doubts because it's something new. Right? He's confident that Indra is powerful. And what does Indra use? He uses a club. So this thunderbolt is something new. He's never used it before. But being new, Lord Vritrasura has faith because Krishna himself gave the direction. Right? Indra's power is coming from the universal form, which means Paramatma. Right? So that's the position, but that's because he's Indra. So you're in that position, then the power of the Lord in that form is there. So he's able to govern. So that's all the farther his realization is. But Vritrasura is looking at it, no, the personality of Godhead, as Bhagavan in his pastimes has given you the thunderbolt, much greater position, much more important. Because Bhagavan realization is always the high, that's the recommended position, to always remember Krishna as a person. Right? So that's what then Vritrasura is talking about. So actually it appears that it's something on about battle, but actually it's about devotional service and devotional attitude. That Vritrasura is pointing out that you don't have the, you're, in other words, you're not taking your realization far enough. You're only looking at the immediate result. You're not looking at the ultimate result. Because from this endeavor, Indra just wants to win this battle. And that's what he'll do. So he points it out. Yes, you'll get what you want in the immediate. And Vritrasura will get in the ultimate. He'll go back to Godhead. So this is the difference, is that on the material platform, we generally don't see the long term. Or if we do, like someone, let's say, I was once reading something, they were talking about these big businessmen, big, you know, anybody who's big in their field, generally they have like a 20-year plan. So that's the big picture. Then they're working on the small plan that they're working on, you know, over the next 5 years and then what immediately they're doing now. But they see all that in connection with the 20-year plan. But unfortunately, that's still material. It's still short-term. So this formula of long-term and short-term can be applied on the material. And it will work because that's the formula. But in actuality, the long-term has to be God consciousness, has to be Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada always thought, the ultimate goal. So in other words, we perform our duties to please Krishna. So performing our duties and getting result from that duties, that's the immediate. But the long term is that it pleases Krishna. What makes the difference? I perform my duty and I get the result. That's from having proper knowledge and proper practice, right? I understand myself, I understand the field, I understand everything properly. But what's left out of this equation is my attitude. Because my attitude then is just focus, get the work done. So that's all I get done. But the higher principle is that my attitude is to please Krishna. Then when I use that same knowledge and skills with that proper attitude to please Krishna, I get the skill, the results of the skill anyway. That's going to happen. One doesn't have to doubt. Indra's doubting, but he doesn't have to doubt. But the point is you'll get Krishna consciousness by having the proper attitude. It'll be complete. That's what you're trying to get. So this many times we look at it, I can do one or the other. But actually, you're not actually getting either done. Because it's not. There's no such thing as one or the other. That's like saying there's material or there's spiritual. You know, there's Krishna and then there's everything else. No, there's only Krishna. So what's the distinction between material and spiritual? The distinction is simply your consciousness, your attitude, right? When personalities like Srila Prabhupada move through the world, they're moving through the spiritual world. Why does it say that wherever they go is Vrindavan? Because that's all they see. They see everything in connection with Krishna. It's external energy, yes. But the point is it doesn't matter. Let's say I have the best ingredients, you know, from far off places, and I've arranged it in such a wonderful way and offer it to Krishna. Or I don't have that facility, I'm just using the local, whatever is available. And it's pretty standard, everybody's got. And I offer that to Krishna. What's the specialness? Is it the uniqueness of the ingredients? Or is it that it's offered to Krishna? Right? Because it's offered to Krishna, therefore I look for the unique ingredients. But if I don't, the most important is the offering to Krishna. So if I offer it to Krishna, according to the quality of the ingredients and the endeavor, I will get that particular observable result. But the real result that I want is that it pleases Krishna, the God consciousness. That's all attitude. That's God consciousness. Therefore, we just talk about God consciousness, not about a particular technique. Technique is used, but it's used to express the consciousness. Right? That's why you see one verse is talking about perform this activity, this is important. Another activity says that's not important, it's the consciousness. Because you have to have both. But of the two, the consciousness is the important thing. So Vritrasura understands this as a pure devotee. Indra does not. That's what makes him a neophyte. He does not understand this distinction. He thinks going out, battling, defeating his enemies, you know, reestablishing the demigods, that's his whole purpose. That's where it ends. He doesn't see that, no, it's Krishna's universe, and to do that means that you're maintaining Krishna's universe the way Krishna likes it to be maintained. So that means that's the real point of being out there and fighting Vritrasura. The balance of the universe is out, and who establishes the balance? Right? Krishna does. But in this case, as Vritrasura has pointed out, Indra and the demigods are. They're thinking, I could be back in my place happily enjoying. Right? I'd be sitting out in my pleasure garden, be out there with the apsaras, I'd be drinking something, eating something, some music. But instead, we have to be on this battlefield because this demon is making trouble. That's how they're seeing it. And Vritrasura points it out bluntly. But he says, but if you have that proper attitude, you follow the dharmic principles, you do that to please the Lord, then everything will be perfect. You don't have to have any doubt in that. In fact, it will be glorious. Right? In other words, how the demigods want to defeat Vritrasura, no one is benefited. But how Vritrasura is saying they should perform their battle, that everybody will be benefited. That's the difference. So what's the difference in the two? The skill is basically the same. Apply a weapon on the enemy to advantage. Win the battle. Right? The skill is the same. The difference is the consciousness. So that's what this is being brought out. That's the specialty of Srimad Bhagavatam. It distinguishes between the matter and spirit on so many levels, on so many situations. Right? Because this philosophy is simple, but we have to remember our life is not. Right? It's always complicated. So that means all these complications have to be addressed. Each and every one of the various way we complicate our life, then the Bhagavatam shows how to analyze what's matter, what's spirit. So that in every case you can be practical and actually choose spirit. Right? The matter will go on. That's going to go on anyway. One doesn't have to worry about that. That's happening. Whether you do anything or not, the modes of nature are going to make sure that matter goes on. But it's just a matter of whether you get the spiritual benefit by seeing it how Vritrasura is recommending. Right? So he's preaching here. That's the difference. He is preaching on a battlefield while Indra is only on a battlefield. He's fighting on a battlefield. Vritrasura is using the medium of battle for preaching. Now this is a pure devotee. Any time, place, he is able to see Krishna and preach. Right? Any questions or comments on this? Yes. Yeah,
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, you mentioned about this consciousness, material consciousness and Krishna consciousness. Apart from association of devotees and hearing from saintly people, are there other factors also which influence the consciousness?
Are there other factors other than association of devotees, hearing from devotees, that influence consciousness? Meaning, In a Krishna conscious way or just in any old way?
No, from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness.
Okay. No, that's the only way. Because the point is why are we in the material? Do we have to be trained to be a materialist? Do you have to train the baby to be self-centered? Right? Do you have to, you know, train anybody to look after their own needs? No. So, materialism we have down. We've been doing it since time immemorial. We're good at it. Means good at it means that we're absorbed in it. Doesn't mean that we're getting good results, but at least you can say we get an A for effort here, right? You know? Okay? But now, so that means God consciousness, where are we going to get that from? Because no living entity in the material world understands this. They don't even understand the material application of this higher and lower consciousness. Higher, lower goals. You understand? They don't even understand that. Who does? They're the ones that are successful in the world. Right? So it's not a matter of technique. It's thought that, no, people are successful in the world because of the technique they use. It has nothing to do with their technique. It's to do with their perspective. Right? They're able to see in a way that they can see the picture and it's more complete. And all it is that's just the recommended standard. You see time, place, and circumstance. That's your application. What do I have to apply? Right? I have the situation, the time, the place, and who's the circumstance. Myself is the main, and then what's the details of the environment? But it's not as much about the details of the environment as it is about me. Right? Because it's how I can use the environment to get result. Right? Let's say you have a great kitchen, not so great ingredients. You put a not so great cook in there, you get some not so great food. Right? But you put a great cook in there, you still get great food, even though the ingredients aren't great. So, time, place, and circumstance, the patra, the most important thing out of that is the person. Right? And they have to apply that in the time and the place. So this is the knowledge that's required. So they're telling you about the time, the place, and all these techniques you can use, but they're not talking about your qualification. Right? Everybody says, no, I can do this, I can. What's your qualification? That's never discussed. I have a right. What's your qualification? Great. What's your qualification? What are you going to do with it? What's your obligation? Not discussed at all. In fact, you bring it up, bad form. People will get upset. Oh, you don't care, you don't know, you don't feel, you don't... Yeah. You understand? So in other words, it's not even thought about. It just doesn't come up. It's not a discussion. And we're talking top to bottom here. You go to the top, you know, your biggest, most highly paid corporate managers and advisors, right down to the little baby who's just trying to figure out, you know, which end is up. All the same. Their realization of how to deal with the material energy is exactly the same. There is no difference. Just one's technique is more developed with practice and knowledge. Right? But what is the who they are, and what attitude they should have, that does not come up in any discussion. Oh, they'll bring it up that, yes, you be pleasant, you be nice, Mr. Smith will be happy, he'll work harder for you, he'll be more committed to the company. Yeah, okay, nice. But but what's the attitude? The attitude is artha, money. So that's your ultimate goal, is money. And money can't be an ultimate goal because you have money, now what do you do with it? Ultimate means you don't need anything more. It's complete in itself. Money's not complete. I have to buy things now to be happy. You understand? So even though you take it, that's the perfection of corporate management. It's not a goal, ultimate goal. It's just a part in a step to get to. You understand? That's why Kshatriyas, they're working with strategy and stuff like that. Vaishyas are not. They shouldn't fool themselves. They think they are. But they're not. Just like the little kids there in the mud pile and there's a whole war going on. You know, this enemy, that, the rocks and the sticks, and it's a whole big thing and like that. You know, what do the adults see? A kid playing in mud. But he thinks it's so like that. So the materialist thinks they're really doing great stuff. But they don't understand. No, these two goals are there. And now if we're going to define it by the primary and secondary goal, what does that mean? It means, what is primary? Primary means something that doesn't change. It has to remain. Now, do I want to apply primary on the eternal platform or on the material platform? Okay, if I live for this lifetime, having a lot of money for this lifetime, then it can be a short-term goal. It only lasts as long as the body. And then I do the activities that get that money. So this person will be successful because he sees the formula, but he's applying it to short-term, this body. The Vritrasura is seeing past that. He's seeing long-term means the Lord and my relationship with the Lord. That's real Patra. Real Patra is, who am I? I am the servant of the Lord. What is this environment? It's to be engaged in the Lord's service. So now, according to time, place, and circumstance, I apply that to please the Lord. Now, because I'm using the Patra in this situation, I'm applying it, I am going to get the results of that endeavor. Right? So in this case, the battle will be won technically by Indra. But as far as ultimate goal goes, only Vritrasura will get that. Indra is going to get still just a longer-term, short-term goal. You understand? So therefore, from the actual perspective, until you add God consciousness, which is coming by association, right? That's what Vritrasura is trying to do here for Indra. Right? It's not that he's holding a seminar and teaching him technique. Right? And if he sits better on the elephant, he'll have more self-confidence. And, you know, if he wore this kind of outfit, then he'd feel good and his men would be inspired. Okay, those are nice techniques. But the real point that he's missing is the consciousness. That's only gained by association. That's what Vritrasura is giving. So we can see here is the only way to change from the material consciousness that all my endeavors are to get something here to there's a goal beyond pleasing Krishna. That only comes from Vaishnavas. You will not get it anywhere else. You won't get it in any book and any this, any yogi's thing, going out and meditating in the forest, you know, going on a raft ride. None of these. It'll be nice. You'll be in contact with Brahman, with Paramatma. You know, you'll feel some purity, some inspiration. But it will not give you the ultimate goal because you think it's out in the forest. That's what's giving me the realization. And I'm the one with the realization. No, it's that you're in contact with the Lord and His energy. That's what's giving you this appreciation, this realization. So unless you see the Lord, you don't get the long term. You know, you get longer and shorter of short term. Does that make sense? So it's only by association. So depending upon who you associate with is how you're developing your goals. That's why it says, you know, associate with those more advanced. Does that work?
Thank you much.
Okay. Just behind you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Just a continuation from this question.
Okay.
And the answer you gave was that association was important, but sometimes we find it difficult, even amongst Vaishnavas, to discern whose association would be beneficial for our spiritual advancement. So I was wondering
who to associate with.
Even amongst the Vaishnavas.
Even amongst the Vaishnavas.
So I was wondering, because sometimes they may have different opinions on certain subject matters. So I was wondering.
They all give different opinions. Okay. Yeah.
So how to discern? What are the different steps that we can take?
Okay. Very good. The point is that as far as if you're dealing, you're talking about generally. I would take it that you're talking about senior Vaishnavas here. Yes. Okay, so now, basically speaking, anything that all these senior Vaishnavas are saying will work, right? So it's not that it's a problem that this one's opinion's better than that one. The point is okay, your conditioning, you know what I'm saying? If there's a consensus there, then you're just talking about generally direct devotional activities. Like the laws say you should chant Hare Krishna, right? But now, details of that, now that will be according to what is your time, place, and circumstance. And that is defined by your nature. It's not that it's a different circumstance, so I deal differently. No, who are you? Right? You understand? That's the question. Who are you? Right? That is then what you have to apply into the time, place, and circumstance. We take it that, I remember, I think it was maybe a year, 2 years ago, I was making these points, and then some devotee said, no, but it's time, place, and circumstance, you know about this Vedic, we have to use the modern. Okay, great. But in his time, place, and circumstance, he's not the circumstance. It's always, no, I'm here, I'm independent, then there's the circumstance, what can I do? The circumstance was such I had to act like this. You understand? So it's impersonal, you're separating yourself from it. And then it's very, very easy. Oh, well, what can I do? No, what is your responsibility? Who are you? You did the activity, you get the results. So who are you? You understand? That's why, just as a side point, that's why that was the first question to Alice. Right? She had to understand who she was. Then she could figure out everything because she was bewildered. Okay? So, the whole point is that if you don't know who you are, you can't function. So the successful people, they know who they are, at least in the material context, the immediate context. But they only get immediate results because they don't get the long term because they don't know the soul. Right? So now the smart person knows their strengths and weaknesses, and what is that? It's according to the conditioning. If you don't know that, you're not actually intelligent. You may be a smart person, but you're not intelligent. You understand? Because you have to be able to apply it. So if you don't know, my conditioning works like this, therefore, what the essence of what all these Vaishnavas are saying is the same, and I should apply that. But I may take special favor to the one who, what their instructions works for my conditioning and my particular situation, so I'm going to take that as more prominent than the others. I'll take the others as a backup, but I have to take more the principle of what they're talking about. The detail I'll take from this devotee, because it will match my conditioning that I can apply. You understand? Because Patra means us. It's generally the paraphernalia because we like it that way. There's me and then there's everything else. But we have to understand is this me is part of everything else. It's dead matter. The real me is the soul. So therefore, in other words, the consciousness of working with the conditioning will get you your immediate result. The consciousness that's working with the nature of the soul, that will give you the ultimate result. So you have to work with both. Prabhupada mentions that about Yudhishthira Maharaj. He's a pure devotee, so he does everything for devotional service, but he's a kshatriya, so he has to apply devotional service through the medium of being a kshatriya. He doesn't say, I'm a pure devotee, I can do anything I want. Because if that was true, then the first chapter of Gita would be finished. That would be all we need. You know, one chapter of Gita, hey, 47 verses or something, pretty easy, pretty straightforward. Because Arjuna said, hey, if the highest thing is not be attached, I'll just go to the forest, be a Brahmin. Hey, I'm not this body, I can do anything I want. Hey, cool. Did Krishna buy it? No. So that's the whole point. So the whole point is Patra means, okay, I'm not this body. Okay, what am I? I'm the soul. And I'm not the body, but the body is still the body. So the body has to act according to the nature of the body. What can that nature do? So me as the soul, who's not the body, how can I engage the body, which is the body? You have to admit, my body is my body. It is, that you have to admit. You have to take that philosophically, right? But I'm not the body, so you have two factors. Me, who's not the body, and the body itself. Combining that, performing the duties that are connected with the body, I perform the duties of the soul, which is to do it to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So you choose who can give you information that works for you. Because otherwise, what all the senior Vaishnavas say, it'll all take you back to Godhead. The point is this, whether you can apply it or not. You understand? That's the question.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Seems to me it's more difficult to control the wind than to adjust your attitude.
Yes, that's why the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it's all about that.
Because we see even in this past time, even after hearing all this stuff from Vidyasura, Indra still goes on being Indra, he purifies himself and he gets back into his kingdom and stuff like that. So it seems like even in this material world we have a certain Stai Bhava. Even though
you could say.
my material steibaba.
No, like I have a certain attitude
he's
towards
he's very
you.
Fixed in his steibaba. Yeah. Okay.
We have some kind of fixed steibaba.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And, you know, I have a certain attitude towards the world and the way I look at it, and everybody else does too.
Yeah, and unfortunately it's not the same as ours.
Right? Yeah, unfortunately.
It'd make it so much easier, wouldn't it?
So much easier. But anyway, the point I want to make is how does one actually adjust one's attitude?
Attitude, okay. What does one do? Okay. That is the same, goes back to the same point that was made before. It's this combination of knowledge gained from association. Because what is he talking about here? His main thing about is about doubt. Right? So it's not that Indra doesn't have the knowledge and he doesn't know that this thunderbolt is supposed to do what he has, but he has a doubt. So you clear that by hearing knowledge in association. And it's like water on a stone. It slowly wears it away, but it's effective. Right? It takes time. So depending upon, let's say, how much we've worn it away in previous lifetimes, our Gata Sukriti, it may be seen quicker now. Like you see somebody joins and in 3 months then they're doing these amazing things and someone else after, you know, 30 years is just kind of getting it together. It's just how much has been done. But the point is the devotional process is so powerful that anybody can do it within one lifetime. Right? So now it's a matter of, do I get it together in one lifetime, go back to Godhead? Or in I get it together to go back to Godhead and I help so many other people in that in the process. That's the only difference. But the point is the process is powerful enough, if it's applied according to the instructions of the spiritual master, it will take you back to Godhead in one lifetime. So that doubt should be not there, right? Then it's a matter of, okay, if I have knowledge, right, in relationship there's the knowledge of the field, like we were saying, time, place, and circumstance. But then there's the attitude that I have to apply that with. Right? We see this a lot that comes up, right? That's the hard thing. Just like, just a typical example. Someone, let's say, is a good manager, and they manage the situation. They saw the time, place, circumstance, and got it done. Right? But even though they did a wonderful job, no one's satisfied. You know, everybody will agree, yeah, it was okay, it worked out. No one will disagree that it wasn't a good result, but no one's satisfied. So what's the missing part? The attitude. So in other words, that makes the difference between one person. Just like you take someone like Jayananda, right? Jayananda, he's the Ratha Yatra guy, right? Yeah, okay. So he was the temple president of San Francisco like forever, right? And he'd do the Ratha Yatras, and those are huge festivals, hundreds and hundreds of devotees packed into this little dinky place and this whole thing like that. But whenever you hear stories, it's not so much about his management, his technique, it's about his attitude. His attitude was so good. Right? You know, I remember that there was, you know, it's like you have 300 brahmacharis that have to take a bath, right? And you have one shower, right? So, you know, do the math. So everybody gets 30 seconds, literally. Now, something like that has to be managed. Now, who can manage, you know, a brahmachari in 30 seconds, right? Because brahmacharis means they're independent, they do whatever they like, they don't listen to anybody, right? And they don't see the need either, right? You know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm taking a bath here, hey, you know, like that kind of thing. So he personally stood there at the shower, right? But everybody took a 30-second shower. So it was managed perfectly, but it didn't seem like, because the attitude, you know, come on next year and that, like that, and then he'd be like encouraging you in a 30-second shower while you're taking a shower. So it wasn't, what, 30 seconds up, come on, get out of here. No, but I'm almost finished. No, he's already, as soon as you walk in, he's already encouraging you. So you happily took you focused on trying to do a 30-second shower because you saw the bigger picture, you know, like this and that. So that's attitude. Managing technique is you can see is best, because how many temple presidents would stand there while a bunch of dirty brahmacharis take a shower, right? Last thing you want to do, right? You know, means that, you know, unless you bring your own clothespin, right, for your nose, right? You know, so, but the point is he's there. He's the one managing the whole festival. See, he's the biggest guy there, but he's standing at the shower. He wasn't, you know, in his room on the internet and telling people what they should do. He was right there. But the point is that's not what he's remembered for. Is his managing technique was great. What he's remembered for is the attitude. Right? And he'd be right out there guiding the cart, not because he's the big guy, just to see that it all went nicely. Right? Therefore, his picture's on the Rathiyatra cart, not because he was a great manager and they started the because of his attitude. Otherwise, so many devotees started so many things. Are there pictures on everything? No. Right? So that's the thing, is that if that's understood, so generally it's not understood, it's an important element. So it's not talked about. All that's talked about nowadays is technique. That's as far as it goes. You have this technique, that technique. If this happened, it was a weakness in technique. You could do that. No one talks attitude. Right? Other than if you don't agree with them, your attitude's wrong. That's the only part attitude's brought up. But it's not about actual application. Does that make sense? But in the Vedic sense, if the attitude is not there, it doesn't work. Because we pointed out there's two goals. This is where the important point comes. Is there's two goals, the ultimate goal and the immediate goal. So my knowledge of the situation and its application will get me the immediate goal. But my attitude is what's going to get me my ultimate goal. So these two aspects of sambandha, or relationship, is what defines the two aspects of prayojana. Because technique's going to be the same. It's not going to change. If I'm Krishna conscious or not, the technique's the same. But what changes is my attitude. That makes the technique and its application into the ultimate goal, or just leaves it as just the immediate. Is that okay? Okay, so no, we have to end here. Time's up. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi, Hare Krishna.